This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Imagine this: fresh, juicy blueberries on a bed of homemade ricotta cheese, mint-infused blueberry jam layered on freshly baked sourdough bread, finished with a drizzle of honey, sea salt, and lavender. Now, if that doesn't get you salivating, I don't know what will. Thank you for joining us on Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are going to be speaking with the indomitable spirit that is Ivan Chong. He is the founder of Kotta, a neighborhood cafe in Damansara Heights that specializes in fresh ricotta cheese on anything and everything. It's a fairly new setup and was doing quite well before the announcement of the recent FMCO, but it's been a real struggle since. And Ivan here, he's learning the hard way the joys and sufferings of many F&B operators around the country. Here's Ivan Chong from Kotta KL.
All right. So my name is Ivan Chong, and I started a restaurant in Damansara Heights called Kotta. And what we do is we make fresh ricotta every day.
Okay. So Ivan, I know you have a very interesting story to tell on how you started Kotta. And the story starts with a Japanese superhero. So why don't you give us the details on that?
All right. So Kotta for me was birthed because of COVID. So as we know, COVID took a toll on a lot of businesses. And before this, what I used to do was, I'm sure we all are familiar with this character, the Ultraman. Well, my company, Taigaku, we used to have the merchandising and licensing rights for Ultraman. But of course, if we were to go into the history of the Ultraman brand, there's just too many issues with it, like who exactly are the owners and the legality rights with it. But putting that aside, this was my first proper business, I would say. And of course, we couldn't predict any of this happening. So we had some reserves, but I would say due to my lack of experience, we couldn't keep the company afloat. So we got together and we said, you know what, it's not going to happen. So we closed it down.
So how long was Taigaku around?
A good 2.5 years, I would say. Yeah.
So things with Taigaku didn't work. How did you find yourself making fresh ricotta cheese then and wanting to make a business out of it?
So what happened was I needed to restart myself, right? So after we closed down the company, this was at the early stage of 2020, I was lost. So as you know, we were in lockdown, things didn't improve any much for us, especially for me. So I basically stayed at home for the longest time, tried doing odd jobs here and there. And then eventually the bills started piling up. And then we were like, what am I going to do, right? So started applying for jobs. But of course, I had a company before, right? And for me to start applying for jobs, my ego was like, Ivan, you used to do the interviewing, you know? Now you're getting interviewed. So my ego was like getting the big part of me. And I really couldn't get past it, right? And I was still thinking, what can I do next? What can I do next, right? So I was chasing this girl, right? My go-to move was always to make a ricotta. So true enough, she wasn't my girlfriend then. I gave her my ricotta and instantly she was like, wow, this is the best thing I ever had, right? So, you know, we just put 2 and 2 together. I make this amazing product. So is it possible to turn it into a business? By that time, we were already in late November. So rental was my biggest thing. Last time, I always thought about doing something in F&B, but the rental was always the most, I would say, the biggest hurdle in this. So thanks to COVID, we started driving around in the middle of the night, and then we looked at all the signboards to let for rent. So we drove past the neighborhoods that we liked. We took down all the phone numbers, started calling them one by one. And to my surprise, rental was amazing. That was initially the biggest hurdle of me going into F&B. You know, now that that hurdle isn't there anymore, I think it can happen. Well, I didn't put in much thought to it. I liquidated everything I could, took a personal loan from a very good buddy of mine, and We launched Kota in under 60,000.
Okay. Now, I want to come back to that decision-making process. Why move into the F&B business, especially when both small and large players in the industry, they admit that they're having the toughest time with business right now, thanks to COVID. Did that thought cross your mind about moving into a segment that is essentially struggling at the moment?
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, that time, things were starting to look good for KL already, right? So people were behaving, we were practicing our social distancing, and then the numbers were going down. So I think it was towards the end of MCO2. Is it towards the MCO, end of MCO2?
I think it was the end of MCO1, actually. MCO2 started in January.
Yeah, so towards the end of MCO1, and then we were like seeing the numbers go down, the vaccines were coming in. So I was like, all right, it seems, you know, if I was to use the analogy of riding a surf, now the tide is coming, it's a good time to enter, and then we can see that wave go up.
You can ride that wave, right?
Yeah. Can ride that wave, okay. Which we did. And when we launched in February, it was amazing, I tell you. Business came in. My place, one day I hope to invite you to Kota to have a look. I do not have a signboard. I am not on Facebook, and I only do this through Instagram. And towards the end of my second week, so we were open for 2 weeks, and then after that was MCO3 lah. So which is where we are at right now.
Okay.
So my restaurant, we are only open for 45 days today.
So why not a ghost kitchen? You know, instead of venturing into a brick and mortar restaurant, most young entrepreneurs today are going for the whole co-working kitchen concept, you know, ghost kitchen concept. Would that have worked for you in, you know, keeping the cost down?
So for the cost part, definitely, it would have been a no-brainer. So my initial idea was, if I was to do an F&B, instead of getting a co-working kitchen space, I could easily get an old apartment, right? Instead of having chairs and sofas, it's just all kitchen, right? Could easily do that. But for me, food is an experience. It's a very emotional thing for me, food. So when I was growing up, my mom, she was a queen of tapao. Everything, tapao dinner, you know, she would just tapao, tapao, tapao. And I wasn't a fan of that. So I started developing my love for cooking initially, right? Cooking for myself. And then, of course, I'm sure most of your home cooks out there would agree, there's nothing more satisfying than you spend maybe half a day to make something, and then you present it to the person you want to impress, and to get the reaction out of them. That, for me, was, I would say, the most satisfying part about cooking. And applying this into business, same thing. Food is an experience. Let's talk about, I love Ramly Burgers. Sitting there with that wrapper on the side of the road, that is an experience on its own. Take that same burger, Ramly, bring it home to your comfortable house. Cannot also, right? And the same thing for hawker food and all the things we love as Malaysians. We are the biggest...
purveyors of the food experience.
Exactly, right? And as Southeast Asians, the really good thing about us is we can take everything from the West. So give us your funkiest thing from the West. Blue cheese, here. We can eat it, right? And then at the same time, we can say ikan masin. No problem. Belacan. Can lah, right? So we are that diverse as a people. So, but anyway, bringing it back to why do this? Why brick and mortar? It's an experience, right? So I like using this example in my case, right? Essentially, what I'm serving is just cheese on toast. If you take away the ambience, the music, the service, the little things that restaurants do, take it all away, and it is just pieces of expensive toast, right? And the same thing for omakase or fine dining or, you know, the places that we like. What we found out last year was the foods that we love. The moment we tapao, we bring it home, we are like, it doesn't feel right, isn't it? So that's why brick and mortar for me was important. And it's not just good food, but it is also the experience. It's the entire feeling that I set up for my customers to experience. It's what you hear, it's what you smell, and of course, what you taste and the overall feeling of the place.
All right, it's time for us to take a quick break. But when we come back, I ask Ivan the question I hope he's had the foresight to consider. When do you know when it's time to call it quits? This is Open for Business with Kota. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now is Ivan Chong, founder of Kota, a neighborhood cafe in Damansara Heights that specializes in fresh ricotta cheese on toast.
Ivan, I have to ask, you claim to make the best ricotta. How did you learn to make it?
I am a school of YouTube.
Ah, okay.
So everything I learn is through YouTube. So the reason why I say I make the best ricotta is I am not a purist. If I was to really serve you what you would eat in Italy, Malaysians, we like things to be a little bit heavier, right? We like things to be saltier, spicier, sweeter. And for me, I'm not intending to please the Europeans. This is for Malaysians. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my people. It has to taste a certain way. So my ricotta has a lot of extra cream. It is rich. It is velvety. When you put it in your mouth, it's just sedap. Then you put on the honey on it. It is a fantastic combination. So that's why I say so.
And how are you keeping Kota alive right now? You know, at the time of recording, it is a full lockdown or FMCO. Have you hooked up with food delivery partners?
Oh, yeah. So we are on Grab, Foodpanda, but my personal favorite right now is Bibit. So I'm sure you have interviewed countless food people in F&B. Wow, I tell you, the delivery cost, the commissions of Foodpanda and Grab is something not to be, it's a big hit, right? So yeah, we are doing that right now. And of course, we have to change the menu. So my food, it is very time sensitive. The honey, the cheese is quite porous, right? So when you put on the honey, it looks good for the first 5 minutes. But let's say the best of riders is the Valentino of delivery riders, right? He reaches your place in 50 minutes. By the time you receive it, it's not going to look good. It's not going to taste good anymore. So we changed our menu instead. So what I'm doing every day is I am bottling up my fresh ricotta. So I go in very early in the morning. Government says we are allowed to go in by 8 p.m., right? 8 a.m., right? So I'm in there at 8 a.m., I start making the cheese, I start bottling them, put it in the fridge, and then as the orders come in, I'm fulfilling that. So instead of slicing my bread and putting on the cheese, I am now doing whole loaves of bread. Oh, and by the way, the best sourdough bread. I got to share that story with you, how we found this guy. So the best sourdough bread and my bottles of ricotta. So you take it at home, have it the way you like it. And that's what we are doing to adapt to this FMCO right now.
So the sourdough bread comes from a 23-year-old baker that makes this bread out of his mom's kitchen, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you've struck up a partnership in order to get Kota going?
Not so much. So what I did was, I knew it had to be revolved around ricotta. So it needs an... I'm making this with passion, with love, right? My ricotta is made with love and all this good stuff in it. I cannot just simply slap on a generic bread on it. So I went out on Facebook. And again, Facebook, amazing place. We went on all those food groups, Support Malaysia. I think the group that I was on was the Support Malaysian Businesses. So I put up a post over there and I say, hey, I am looking for a home baker to supply me a steady supply of your best sourdough bread. Hit me up. So a whole bunch of people reached out to me. We took samples from each of these home bakers, blindfold ourselves, taste test. And this kid, his bread, it came up. We were like, wow, this is really good. And then we met up again, talked about it. And then he was like, he really wants to have his own cafe, his own restaurant one day. But right now he's too young. He doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the confidence. And I was like, you know what? I love you. This is all about business, right? When I was young, someone gave me the opportunity. And it is, I would say, an unspoken rule that it is now, if you're someone, you should also give someone else the opportunity. So I pretty much saw myself in him and I was like, oh, his name is Wei Lee, by the way. So Wei Lee, you are making me this bread. We're going to go into a partnership. We're going to do this. Supply me your best sourdough bread and I will make it happen. So that's how we are starting to work together.
So You say the menu is now limited for the lockdown period. What is the ideal menu going to look like? It's not just going to be cheese on bread for the next few years, right? I mean, I'm sure you've got great plans for the menu to come.
So cotta is after ricotta. So I just took the C-O-T-T-A. It has to revolve around ricotta. So right now, I am completely new in this industry. I was always a home cook, but to take it into the commercial level, oh, I tell you, my first 2 weeks, I was over my head, right? So we started with a very simple menu first, and we just used sourdough bread, simple ricotta, and then we put in condiments that absolutely complemented it. So last 2 weeks, we just recently added our fourth item, which was Spanish meatballs and a beautiful chimichurri sauce on top. Moving forward, I'm going to let my customers decide for me, right? So Instagram was the platform I used to reach out to for all of this growth. So for item number four, I basically reached out to my little community of now 400 something followers. And I said, hey guys, thank you so much for supporting me. What would you like to see next? You want something sweet or savory? So everybody voted savory, and then item number four came out. So when it's time for me, item number five, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask the people who enjoy my food, what would they like to see next?
Okay. What's the cutoff point, Ivan? I mean, how long can you hold on to all you've built at cotta? I know, is there a date or a number in mind before you start considering, you know, you can't afford to keep things running? I hate to ask you this, but you have experience shutting down Taigako, and I think you know there's only so long to tahan before you have to face reality, right? So, you know, it's been 45 days at the time of this recording, but is there a date or a cutoff point in mind, you know?
So if I was to show you my bank account, you would be in absolute shock. It is not a fun situation for me right now. To say I'm running on savings is a far, it's, you know, that was last year already, right? I would say another 1 to 2 months, to be honest.
Right. And the timing for this MCO just ain't right.
It couldn't be worse because I sold everything to make this happen, right? I tried to borrow whatever money I can. I tried to sell everything I can. This was, in many ways, my last chance, you know? It's the one last thing I can do for myself again. So took all of that, thought the timing was right, where I could ride the wave. When I launched, everything was as planned. But of course, you know, life gives you lots of surprises. And here we're at. So it would be good if, well, I can't really say much, but we're finding ways. So we're managing our costs. I am now a one-man team again. We're trying to keep the aircon not running, try to use fan. I only turn on one fridge, no coffee, you know, absolutely tight right now.
The bare minimum, but, yeah.
The bare minimum. But again, I'm very, very grateful to have everybody supporting me through this time. So the customers that I have, they are ordering, and that little amount of orders that they are giving me is able to pull me through, because all we have to worry about right now is the electricity bill, my loan, and my rental.
Okay.
As for now.
So when you wrote to us, Ivan, you said that there were big lessons, big entrepreneurship lessons that you took away from your time with Taigako. You said you learned stuff about brand positioning, leverage, finding a win-win solution. Has this new experience with cotta, albeit quite fresh, has it taught you anything new about entrepreneurship?
For this, I would say you've got to surround yourself with the right people. So right now, applying what I did with my past business, with cotta right now, I am surrounding my I'm surrounding myself with other businesses who are at the same position, have the same goals. I also work very closely with good friends of mine. They are called Shorty Bakers, brother and sister team. They make one of the best brookies. It's like a hybrid between a brownie and a cookie out of the house. So brother was representative of, I think, Jiu-Jitsu in Malaysia. And then the same thing, the sister, beautiful auditing job, if I'm not mistaken, left it to start this business. So you guys are the same as me. Hey, let's work together. And so we are doing their products. And at the same time, we're hooking up with a lot of other entrepreneurs out there who are all trying to achieve the same goal, which is what I am. And where we are at right now is just brand presence. We want to be heard. We want to be seen. We want people to try us out. They have the same goal as well. They want people to hear them, to hear about them, discover them. So we're saying, hey, let's work together. Let's take your product. You take mine. We shout out together, right? So in terms of positioning, we are all the same, but we're leveraging now on each other's brand. So I'm adding more and more people to work together or to find some ways to, I love this word, win-win, to find a position that we both can win from working together. And we are getting some amazing response and we're both benefiting from it.
Right. Another scenario where brand collaborations have saved small businesses during this pandemic. Nice to hear that. All right. So Ivan, before we go, ideally, COVID goes away soon and we go back to some semblance of normalcy, the freedom to socialize, to congregate, to eat out, without thoughts of the virus hanging over our heads. You know what I mean? How do you imagine Kotta during a time like this? You know, what would you like to serve KLites and others alike? And what would you like that experience to be like for them when this pandemic is over?
So Kotta is going to be, I intended to be part of Damansara Heights for a long time. So this will definitely not be, I don't think it's going to be a multi-million idea that's reserved for something else, but serving absolutely the best food we can make in a community that we love so much and just be part of the staple. So the whole feel of it is going to be like going to, you know, friends, going to that cafe. That's what I want it to be, right? It's for the neighborhood. It's for people who appreciate good food, who are, what do you call it? A lot of people are reducing their costs. So they're going for mass manufactured food. And when you eat those food, you get sad. So I'm putting back the quality in it, put back the passion, the love in the food. And same thing, probably this be a platform for all the other neighborhoods or the neighborhood small businesses to come together, sell your stuff. And that's really the tone I see it, where it's just a comfortable place serving the best food we can make. And it's just comfortable and cozy and just, you know, be there for a long time.
Right. Now, we wish you all the best, Ivan. But before I let you go, you're not on Facebook. You don't really have a website, but you do have an Instagram handle that people can go and check out what you serve at Kotta and also get in touch with you, right? Can you give us that Instagram handle?
Yep. So my Instagram is Kotta KL. So it is KOTTAKL. And if you go onto my Instagram, trust me, you will love it. I've been doing absolutely silly videos, cooking, like some of our cooking videos, and of course, a bit of beautiful photos here and there. So find me on Instagram. And of course, we do very limited amounts every day because, you know, of our skill. So if any of your listeners would like to make a reservation, including yourself, Audrey, I'll be happy. Just drop me a DM. I'll arrange it for you all.
Right. Thanks for that, man. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
You're most welcome.
I've been speaking with Ivan Chong, founder of Kotta KL. Now, if you missed out on any part of this interview, you can find the podcast on our website, bfm.my, also on the BFM app, which is available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. We'll have more Open for Business for you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.